Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a DVD study kit that will inspire and encourage you in your walk with the Lord called Everything is Possible with God. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When You're Drowning in Debt.
Taxes are the investment we pay on our freedom. And taxes are just our investment on the future and our gratitude for what's already been done. Listen, I've been in a lot of places around the world. They don't have taxes, but they don't have freedom either. And they're stuck. And there are no roads and things like that. Unable to pay taxes. Number five, a fifth sign that you're in the debt trap is extravagant spending. Extravagant spending. When you buy things just because you've got the money to buy them, watch out. You need to ask, do I really need this? Do I have to have this? When you buy things just because you've got the money, just because you can, or when you overpay, you buy something, so I know that's too much, but I can afford it. And you overpay just because you can, God says, you're headed for the debt trap. Notice this verse. Indulging in luxuries and wines and food will never make you wealthy. You know how hard it is to shop for some people? Everybody agree with that? Okay. That's a symbol that they don't really need anything. Why just go out and, the Bible says, don't waste money on stuff you don't really need. Extravagant spending. And then number six, and this is a big sign, always looking for get-rich-quick ideas. The Bible says it is a symptom of the debt trap. And over again in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, the book of James in the New Testament, the book about practical wisdom, the books of practical wisdom. And it says there, don't get involved in get-rich-quick schemes. It said you're always going to get in trouble when you do that. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says this, steady plodding brings prosperity. In other words, just consistent hard work. Just get a job, get a salary, you know, get something going. Steady plodding brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. You see, the problem is when you get in debt, you are ripe for a ripoff. Because all kinds of ideas are like, well, I know how to get out of debt really quick. And here's what you can do. And if you'll just do, and people often get in debt by living in a fantasy world. And they're always fantasizing about tomorrow instead of just doing normal savings, normal spending, normal earning. You know, it's like they've always got this big idea, waiting for the big deal to close. And it never closes. It's always a big deal. It's never just a little, it's always a big deal. Or I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Get rich quick schemes. And by the way, what's wrong with gambling anyway? Well, in the first place, it's based on a wrong premise. The premise is that you can get something for nothing. The universe does not work that way. The universe is not built on getting something for nothing. It is also an expression of greed. There's a tinge of greed in it. And it also is a misuse of a godly impulse. God wired you to take risks. He just doesn't want you taking them for selfish purposes. He wants you to take risks for the benefit of others. He wants you to take risks for the benefit of building the kingdom of God. He wants you to take risks for doing good. It's a good godly impulse. Godly gambling is when you use that desire to take a risk, which makes life exciting, not for materialistic reasons. You use it for the kingdom of God. You use it for good. Now, as I've gone over this list, and these six things, some of you going, yep, that's me, Rick. I'm that one, or I'm that one, or I'm that one, or I'm three or four of them all at once. and you think there is no way out. Well, there is. And that's the good news, that there is a way out. And God says, if you'll do it my way, you can get out of debt and you can stay out of debt permanently. Now, I want you to take notes on this, because not only do you need it, but your friends need it. Everybody around needs it. You need to be able to share these with other people. Here are the steps to freedom. Number one, and this is the most difficult step of all, commit to becoming debt-free now. Commit to becoming debt-free. The Bible says in Psalm 37, the wicked borrow and do not repay. Now, you say, well, you know, why don't I just file bankruptcy and start over? The wicked borrow and do not repay. You say, but bankruptcy is legal. Yeah, it's legal, but it doesn't mean it's moral. It's not moral to stiff somebody of debt. I mean, there are a lot of things that are legal that believers shouldn't be doing simply because they're not moral. They're legal, but they're not moral. And God says, if you have a debt, you are to pay it off. It says the wicked don't repay their debts. And so you commit to becoming debt-free. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take character. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take delayed gratification. But if you commit to it, there is a way to get out of debt. And the Bible tells us that nobody just drifts out of debt. It's intentional. Now, if I were to ask how many of you would like to be out of debt, everybody would raise their hand. How many wish you were out of debt, you'd all raise your hand. But if I said how many of you will commit to getting out of debt, doing what it takes, that'd be a whole different issue. Because it's not easy. It's simple. It's very simple to get out of debt, but it's not easy. It's very difficult. You commit to becoming debt-free. Okay, principle number two. These are right out of God's word. I start paying God and myself first. Start paying God and myself first. These are the principles of tithing and saving. You say, wait a minute, I do that before I pay off all my bills. Shouldn't I pay off all my bills first? No. If you wait till you pay off all your bills first, you will never save and you will never tithe. Now, you need God's help, so you want to do it God's way. I remember one of the best known, most successful business leaders in Southern California once told me, he said, Rick, you need to tell people the best time to start tithing is when they're in debt. I said, why? He said, because that's when they need the most help. Whatever you want God to bless in your life, you put him first in. You want God to bless your business? Put him first in your business. You want God to bless your marriage? Put him first in your marriage. You want God to bless your family? Put him first in your family. You want God to bless your finances? Put him first in your finances. You want God to bless your time? Put him first in your time. Whatever you put God first in, that's what he blesses. Seek first the kingdom of God, and he says, and all these other things will be added to you. So you say right off the top, God, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to save. And I'm going to figure out how to live on less so I can do that. John D. Rockefeller was the Bill Gates of his day. He was the wealthiest man in the world. And he was often asked, how did you become so wealthy? And he called it the 10-10 principle. He said, I tithe 10%, I save 10%, and I lived on the rest. You say, well, I can't live on 80%. Then you're living beyond your means. You're living beyond your means. You could live on any amount if you have to. And so the Bible says, I want you to live on 80, and I want you to be able to give away, and I want you to be able to save. I start paying myself first and paying God first. And this will mean, I understand this will mean a major reorganization of your life, but let me just give you some examples. Let's just say you're 25 years old, and let's say you made $15,000 a year. That's what you made. Let's say you're 25, you made $15,000 a year for the next 20 years. If you did the 10-10-80 principle, and you tied 10% and you saved 10% and you got it in an investment that got 10%, here's what you'd do. In 20 years, by age 45, you would have given over $30,000 in worship and tithes. That's investing in the future, storing up treasure in heaven. And you would have paid yourself $85,913 with compounding interest. You'd have $85,000 in the bank, even only making $15,000 a year. Let me give you another example. Let's say you adopted the 10-10-80 principle at age 35. And let's say you make $30,000 a year. And that's what you make for the next 20 years. If you did the 10-10 principle, 10-10-80 principle, and you invested it, and you got the compounding interest, it says by age 55, you'll have given $60,000 to the Lord's work, you know, and that's stored up treasure in heaven, and your investment fund will have grown to $171,000 in the bank at $30,000 a year income. Let me just give you another example. Let's say your family income, you and your wife work together, your family income is $60,000 a year. And let's say you started this plan at age 40. Well, in the next 20 years, by age 60, you would have given $120,000 to God's purposes in the world, and you would still have $345,000 set aside in your investment fund, in your savings. Folks, this works. There are enormous payoffs. I started doing this when I was 17 years old. And if I made 50 bucks, $5 went to the Lord and $5 went into savings. It works. It works.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to connect with Pastor Rick online, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. That's PastorRick.com.
How's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. You'll also learn about the predictable patterns and processes involved in building your faith. Rick calls this the six phases of faith. Once you understand these six phases, you can cooperate with God as He systematically strengthens your faith and builds your character. This groundbreaking small group Bible study will help you uncover and participate in God's unique plan and purpose for your life. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a helpful leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Call right now, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
The Bible says this: the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. Number three, this is a very important principle. Number three, list all I own, owe, and earn. That's the third step to financial freedom. Make a list of all that I own, all that I owe, and all that I earn. This is keeping good records. It's the principle of accounting. It's knowing where your money is, where it's going, where it's coming from. And the Bible says this: by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. That means you're wise and you're knowledgeable. You understand where your money's coming from. People say money talks. It doesn't talk. It just walks away quietly. And you get to the end of the month and go, where'd that go? Wait a minute, we had all this money. Yeah, it's the end of the month. Where'd all our money go? If you have ever said that question, where did it all go? It means one thing: you're not keeping a budget. A budget is telling your money where you want it to go rather than wondering where it went. A budget is simply planned spending. It's planning your spending. And you spell financial relief B-U-D-G-E-T. If you don't have a budget, you're coming to the end of the month, you go, where did it all go? But if you have a budget, you're saying, I want this to go here, and I want this to go here, and I want this to go here. And it's making your money work for you instead of having you just work for your money. Now, why is this principle of keeping good records and knowing what you owe and knowing what you earn and knowing what you own and having good records, why is it important? Because ignorance plus easy credit equals disaster. It's a disaster. And so the Bible says this. Look at this. He's here on the screen. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:23, get the facts at any price. And look at this next verse. The Bible says it's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. When you go into a store at Christmas time, don't take a credit card with you. Not in this economy. Don't take a credit card. If you don't know whether you can afford it or not, you're already in trouble. It's stupid to decide before knowing the facts. You say, well, I just need to buy this. Well, you don't even know if you can afford it or not. The Bible says that's dumb. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 24, verse 3, any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. You need to list all you own, all you owe, and all you earn. Number four, once you've done that, the fourth step in moving to financial freedom is have a sale. Have a sale. You need to get rid of some of your stuff. And if you are stuck in the debt trap, you need to look at some of the stuff that you need to convert to cash. In fact, let me just say this. You need to have a sale this week if you are paying rent on a storage container. You are renting space for stuff you're not even using. I hate if we have any owners of storage container centers here. I apologize. But the truth is, when you've got so much stuff it won't even fit in your house, you got a problem. And you're paying rent just to keep stuff. You need to have a sale. And you ought to look around your house. If you're in debt and you can't save and you can't tithe and you can't pay your taxes and you're living on credit and all these things, you need to go and say, what could we get rid of? You say, well, Rick, it's already paid off. Why should I sell it? Well, one of the reasons you might sell it is so you don't have to maintain it. I remember years ago, back in the 80s, we were living in Laguna Niguel in a 1,200 square foot home. I had three kids and I had two bedrooms. And so I built my kids' bedrooms in the garage because we had decided we wanted Kay at home during those years. She didn't want to work. I didn't want her to have to work. I wanted her to be with the kids. So we intentionally lived in a smaller home and I built the kids' rooms in our garage. Built them out, put in windows and everything. And we had been saving for years to expand that house. And we finally got enough money that we could add a second story onto this house. And one day I was reading a magazine and I saw this advertisement for log cabins. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a log cabin? You know, I was raised in the mountains in Northern California. I grew up in a little town called Redwood Valley, and it's just like it sounds. I was up in the mountains and it was beautiful. I'm kind of a log cabin kind of guy. And I looked at the price, and it was less than what we were going to do our remodel for. And I went to Kay and I said, hey, honey, how about instead of putting all this money into one house, what if we had like a second house, if we had a log cabin kit, and we bought this kit, and my dad and I could build it? And she said, well, that sounds pretty good. I said, it's less than what we're going to have to remodel our house for. So we went out, and we looked all up and down the Sierra Nevadas, and we found this beautiful space in June Lake, just north of Mammoth. And I bought three lots together. I mean, it was gorgeous. Two running streams running through the property that connected to two larger lakes. A spring-fed pond on the property with fish. Giant trees. View out the window where the house would be, looking at Carson Peak of Yosemite. Unbelievable piece of property. So we bought it. We paid cash for the property. We didn't put it on in debt. We paid cash for it. And then we had the money to build this log cabin. So I bought a log cabin kit from a company called Lincoln Logs. I'm not making this up. Lincoln Logs. I vaguely remembered it from my childhood years. And so it took me a couple years to build it, and my dad and some friends helped me build it. And what they didn't say in the ad was, this is just like the frame. You want a floor? Oh, that's extra. You want plumbing? Oh, that's extra. You want a bathroom and electricity? Oh, that's extra. It was just the frame. So it ended up being twice the amount. But we had the money, and we had been saving faithfully, and we got it all paid off. And then we started having to maintain it. And twice in the house, on one side, it got so cold, the water pipes broke, froze, and then flooded the wood flooring and had 2 or 3 inches of ice on it. And twice I had to completely replace the flooring. And then we had rats, and then we had termites, and then I was just going, this is not worth it. I thought, you know what? I learned a simple lesson. We sold it after about 5 years. I learned something. I don't have to own something to enjoy it. I can rent a log cabin once a year and get that smell of that cedar log. And why should I have to own it? If you own it, you have to maintain it.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, how's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the 6 Phases of Faith. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that God says you get to choose how much He blesses your life? God says, you believe and I'll bless. Our part is to believe, His part is to bless. And the Bible says in Matthew 9:29, this is a direct quote from Jesus, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's the key to starting the great adventure of following Jesus Christ in faith. So if faith is so important, how does God build your faith? Well, He starts with a dream. And then He uses a very predictable 6-step method, and He's used it throughout history, to lead you to fulfilling that dream. And that process always results in building up your character and your faith in Him. When you understand this process, then you can cooperate with it. Now, to help you understand the way that God builds your faith, I want to send you a study kit. It's called Everything is Possible with God. And it's a DVD and a study guide that will teach you how to cooperate with God's 6 phases of faith as He builds your character, deepens your faith, and enlarges your trust in Him. And I want to send this study to you. This kit, just as my thank you for your donation to Daily Hope. I just want to say again that it is your financial generosity that makes it possible for me to teach you and to teach other people all around the world. You know, this broadcast is going to places like refugee camps where they can't afford to pay for any broadcast at all. And when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping take the message of Christ to people who have no possible means of supporting it. So let me send this Everything is Possible with God study kit to you as just my way of sincerely saying to you, thank you.
In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Call right now. 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.